At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
This meeting is being recorded.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, your host for Keeping It Real on Purpose. Thank you today for being here, and I am totally excited to have a guest with us that's going to talk about marriage and trauma, but she'll share that. Her name is Terry Kozlowski.
Very
I always
good.
Get stuff. My audience knows me by now. I just demolish names, but I did good. I'm doing better.
You did good.
I love it. So, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm great, Edna. How are you today?
I'm doing terrific. So tell us how you show up in the world.
I show up as a very purposefully authentic person. I am my authentic self all the time. I live here in the South, outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and you don't see many girls running around in cowgirl hats and cowgirl boots. And, you know, that is who I authentically am. Several years ago, when I turned 50, I said, I'm no longer dyeing my hair. And now all of a sudden, I started a trend. Being gray is very popular all of a sudden, but it wasn't when I did it. So I've had strangers.
All of a sudden, right? It's great.
And all of a sudden I have people coming up to me telling me how brave I was, how beautiful I am, and all because I chose to be authentically me.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. So talk to us about, you know, marriage and how to deal with your own trauma in the marriage. Talk to us about that. We'd love to hear that.
So as a child, I had childhood trauma. The short version is at 11 years old, my mother, who was a drug addict and alcoholic, allowed three men to take away my innocence so she could have free drugs while she and her best friend stood in the corner of the room watching. And then she disappeared for 3 days. Left my sister and I alone. And then I grew up very quickly. Not that I hadn't already gone through the whole thing of being a child of an alcoholic when all that codependency comes in. So I had all that going on. And then I had the child sexual trauma. And as you grow out of that, I was 11, number one. I didn't know really what happened. I didn't know what sex was at the time. And also that occurred in 1980. So I came home and I told my dad I needed therapy. And most 11-year-olds don't know what therapy is, especially back in 1980. And so he took me very seriously. And Monday morning, I was in therapy. And I stayed in therapy for 5 years. But they didn't know what to do with me because, number one, I didn't tell them what happened. And number two, child sexual abuse wasn't talked about. And if it did happen, I mean, we know it happened because it's happened for generations after generation after generation.
Right.
But now there's not a stigma against even sharing that it's happened to you,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
we've gotten brave.
Yeah.
Men and women have gotten brave and have now spoken up about the trauma that they have endured. And in doing so, we're now going through a whole generation of people that are healing from their child trauma, and then also stopping that from becoming generational right. patterns of behavior. Because it was in my mother's background as well. She was sexually abused. So we have generational patterns here that, you know, broke with me. No more abuse right. is happening after me. So that is our number one goal. If you have been traumatized as mm-hmm. a child, our number one goal is heal. And our second goal is to make sure we don't pass on that generational trauma
Absolutely.
To somebody else.
Absolutely.
However, mm-hmm. when we grow up and we get married and you know, we're still struggling with several things. I think people get married too young. And because in your 20s, you don't know who you are yet.
And, absolutely, totally agree.
And when you don't know who you are, you try to build your life with someone who also doesn't know who they are.
Yeah,
you're going to have conflict, not just because you don't know who each other really is, mm-hmm. but also that trauma comes up. And trauma comes up in all kinds of different ways. And right. sexual trauma comes up in the bedroom. And I was married to my first husband for 7 years. And my trauma occurred when I was 11. He and I married when I was 20. I had a baby at 21. And at 27, we were divorcing.
Yeah.
And during that time period, one of the things that he knew of my trauma, because I was one of those people that was upfront about it, because I didn't want to knowingly hurt you because mm-hmm. of a trigger for me. So I made right. it very clear up front that I had certain triggers and I didn't want buttons and not have a pleasant experience with me. So mm-hmm. because I was open about it, he thought I was dealing. And at one point near the time where we divorced, it over trauma and a snap. They want to, but it is something mm-hmm. that is worked through. It is something that you work through, and it's a progression. It's a journey. It's
yeah,
your healing
absolutely.
Journey. Therefore, yeah. he and I divorced, and we divorced for several reasons. One, I still didn't know who I was. He didn't know who he was. Two, we had a child, and I was focusing all my energy on the child instead mm-hmm. of, and that's not technically how we're supposed to focus in our relationship. Our relationship mm-hmm. with our spouse is supposed to be the number one relationship, because when that child grows up and leaves, we're stuck with that one person. So we're trying to build a life with them. That was the goal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we didn't know who we were. We didn't build a life together. Our focus was, or my focus for sure, was on the child and not on making sure the marriage was working. And on top of all of that, I married him for the completely wrong reason.
Yeah.
Because of my trauma with my mother, I married him so I could have his mother as my mother.
Ah.
And good. And I knew that. I knew that. I mean, there are pictures of me on our wedding day where you clearly see in my eyes, I am not marrying the love of my life. But when you see pictures of me with his mother,
yeah,
the adoration that's there, you can yeah. see it comes across yeah. on the film. And so mm-hmm. I can look back and say, I know why I married him. And I mm-hmm. ended up with his mother as my mother for a very long period until she passed. And it was a very good relationship for me as far as his mother was concerned, because it helped me through my healing with my mother.
Okay.
So I can see positives, I can see the negatives. I married somebody and had a baby with somebody that yeah. I wasn't in love with. And right. I built a relationship, or tried to build a relationship, on a foundation that was unstable. So we divorced. I would have to deal with this man, because we had a 5-year-old son together, and I had to deal with this man for at least another 15 years, if not longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave him the house. I gave him everything that he didn't think I was taking away anything from him, but I took my son and I took the minimum child support. And yet we maintained a friendly relationship the entire time we raised our son. My son's now 30 and married, and, you know, he got married last year, and my ex-husband and I and my current husband were all at the wedding, sat at the same table, had lovely conversations. We have a decent relationship now.
Okay.
Based on the fact that I know who I am and now he knows who he is.
Oh,
and
perfect.
And we share a son and we both know who he is and our roles in his life. So that part of life has grown, but my healing still hadn't occurred. And so I went on and married a second man. And in marrying the second man, I realized what I was missing to heal. And I needed safety. And I was very, very fearful, because when you believe your mother can't love you and doesn't love you and allows harm to come to you, who else on the planet is going to love you? That mother relationship had a great impact in a negative way on the fact that I did not feel safe in this world. Mm-hmm. And yet when I met my second husband, I noticed I felt really strange around him, and I didn't know what that strange feeling was. And it finally, you know, I got quiet and listened to my soul and realized I'm not afraid. When I'm with him, the fear that I have all the time fades. And when in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, as long as you have the basic necessity, the second phase is you need safety. And I didn't have safety. So I finally got safety. And once you get safety, the amount of growth you can do becomes exponential. So all the growth that I was supposed to be doing as a child, I wasn't doing. And now, and I didn't do until I, you know, ended up with my second husband. That was, I started him off right at my 30s. So I was again married at 28 and have been with him for 25 years now. But he gave me that safe place to grow and understand, even though I can say I'm doing much better, I still have triggers. There are still things that certain words that, you know, nobody can call me baby because that's what the me. So that term of endearment is not endearing to me and triggers me and completely closes me up. Even though that happened when I'm 11 and I'm 54, even hearing another husband affectionately call their wife baby causes me to really just have an internal negative reaction. And, you know, I really know that I am over and healed from my childhood trauma, but there are still certain things that your egoic mind, whose job is to protect you, when certain things come up, will say, hey, pay attention, this could be dangerous. And so you have to be able to walk yourself through when your ego comes up to warn you of something that you know you're okay. Everything, you're safe now. And you know, you remind the ego that I've had more positive experiences concerning this than negative ones. And allow yourself to walk through that initial angst that occurs. You're communicating clearly. You're making sure that you let your spouse know what your triggers are so that they avoid them, because they love you and they don't want to trigger you.
I think that's really important what you just said, to, you know, let them know what the triggers are. You know, having that communication is so very vital.
It is.
In any relationship, but especially marriage. Because like you said, once the children go away, this person is with you for the longest. What do you think with marriage in general? And I know you said it from the first marriage. You know, I have an indifference with, you know, young people getting married too early, because I was one of those. And I became the statistic, you know, getting divorced, you know, a couple years later, you know, and being miserable. So what could you give, you know, about that?
I really believe that you need to know who you authentically are first. And until you know who you authentically are, how can you share your true self with somebody else? And let me give you an example. So I talk about software, you know, everybody knows what software versions are. And when mm-hmm. we come into this world, all of us come in as babies, and we know who we authentically are. We have an authentic mm-hmm. purpose. We know we are there to be loved and love others. And that right. is our job as a child. And we come into the unknown, which is our family. And in mm-hmm. this family unit either encourages us to continue to love or causes us to react in a negative way and pull away from love. And okay. if you are lucky to be in a family that encourages love and is open about love and gives you that secure, safe place, then when you become 10, you get your 1.0 software. And when you become 20, you get 2.0 software because you're growing and developing at a good rate. Right. I, however, didn't get 1.0 software because of my trauma. And I right. didn't get 2.0 software because of my trauma, because wherever mm-hmm. your trauma occurs is where you stop growing until you yeah. deal with your trauma. So in right. my 30s, I started doing massive software upgrades, and because I was learning and growing and expanding and realizing who I authentically was. And a lot of times people feel like they're broken, and nobody's broken.
No.
What you feel is the mask and armor that you cover yeah. yourself with, and only a portion of you is gleaming out that authenticity.
Yeah.
So only that's part. So you feel fragmented. That's what you feel, yeah. not broken. Yeah. You feel fragmented because who you authentically are is being hidden by your mask and armor. And so yeah. in my 30s, I was taking off mask and armor, and I was truly starting to shine who I authentically was. And only in my 50s has that really, really come to light. And I don't care what people say about my clothes. I don't care what people say about my gray hair. I go out into the world and I shine as brightly as I can. And guess what? People love it. Because people, Edna, as you know, if you go up to somebody and say, hey, do you want me to be me, or do you want me to be whatever you want me to be? Well, most people mm-hmm. want you to be who you authentically are. You know, they don't want right. you to put on a mask for them. They want you to be who they truly are. Mm-hmm. And for me Absolutely. To do that, and that's what you want from your audience. So mm-hmm. That's really what people want. They don't want to see the fragmented pieces of only the parts that you think is safe for others to see.
Exactly.
They want to really get to know.
We have enough of that already. We have social Correct. Media for that. You know, we have all of that.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And yeah. really and truly, when you truly authentically connect with somebody, that's how mm-hmm. the best healing and the fastest healing occurs, is through those authentic oh, yeah. connections where you can see, hey, you're just like me.
Oh yeah.
We have all this in common, and right. just met each other, and we have all these commonalities because we are all so much more alike than we are different.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Oh, you gave us a lot of great information. Is there something else no, that you could didn't give us regarding your own trauma? How do you kind of get together with your partner? You know, I know you said to communicate, but how do you really get together on that trauma part? And really, when did it change for you? What step? Let me just say that. What step?
So through the healing process, one of the things that was difficult at first was because my mother was an alcoholic, both of my husbands would drink alcohol, and not to excess, and are not mean, you know, not mean at all.
Violent, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my mother was an extremely right. typically to me, because I would protect my sister from it. So right. I would get in groups of people, and they, you know, in college, they were all drinking because that's what that college crowd does. And I was always the designated driver because I didn't mm-hmm. drink. So yeah. I found roles I could play. But for me, realizing that the angst with alcohol was my issue, nobody right. else's, is where the responsibility comes in.
Oh, that's good.
And the two pivotal moments in my life where I completely altered my perception. One was I was 18 years old and I had a male friend tell me that I got something out of playing the victim. Now, I got very angry at that statement because who are you to tell me anything about my victimology? Right. But he said it in a loving way and he meant for me to think about it.
Yeah.
Young that was people good. They listen to all the chatter of friends and you know family members, but they don't actually get quiet and see who what they authentically believe and think about mm-hmm. the matter. And when I did that, I realized, oh, I do get something out of playing the victim. Because when you play the victim and when you say, hey, I was traumatized as a child, especially in that time that I was growing up mm-hmm. in the 80s, it was something that people didn't know how to react to. So what did they do? They ran away. Right. And yeah. that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be left alone. So I was getting a benefit of playing the victim. So I decided that, and the second thing, a survivor instead of a victim. And that mm-hmm. mindset shift meant that I had to take responsibility from this day right. forward. And I, mm-hmm. at that point, as a survivor, cannot blame my mother, cannot blame the sexual abuse, right. cannot blame those three men. I have to take responsibility for how I move forward from here.
Yeah.
And guess what that does? That takes a powerless girl and makes her a wonder powerful woman. And it empowered me to realize that they never took power away from me. I gave it away after the mm-hmm. trauma. Yes, they took it during the actual event, but afterwards, for almost two full decades, I gave them that power every day because I didn't take it for myself. And so when I switched from being a victim mm-hmm. to a survivor, the two things occurred. I empowered myself to be responsible and make my life what I wanted it to be. And the second thing okay. was I allowed myself then to dream again. Because I was always focused backward. When you focus on the past, it causes depression. And that's yeah. what depression is that you are focusing on the past instead of your present moment. But I'm an overachiever. I did a complete 180 and became, yeah. I focused then on the future, and my fear of the future then became anxiety. And so I right. did a complete, so I was depressed for about 10 years and I became anxious for about 10 years. And then it occurred to me, because I was focusing on the future. So then it occurred to me, hey, in the present moment, I'm having a lovely conversation with Edna. We're laughing and carrying on and I get to wear my hat and we're having a good time. In the present moment, yeah. everything's good. There is no fear.
Yeah.
Everything is fine in the present moment. So if we stay fully present and live our lives in that present moment, yeah. then everything is okay. And yes. we don't get anxious about the future. We don't get depressed about the past. And we can grow, because guess what? Only growth happens in the present moment. Only learning yeah. happens in the present moment. Only love happens in the present moment. Everything mm-hmm. about the life you want happens in the present mm-hmm. moment. And that's yeah. where we need to live.
Yeah, that is excellent. That's great stuff. So far, we've been talking about living in the present moment, and being in the present moment seems to be one thing that helps you stay mm-hmm. focused, you know, and not have all the anxiety. I, like you, is I'm always thinking about the future, you know, and I get anxious, you know, it's like, I'm anxious. So
yep.
I know that that's one of my mm-hmm. things. So I have to talk to myself, you know, and cut it out, you know, it's not that bad, cut it out, you know, and again, you gotta, like, I like what you said about, I call it the martyrdom syndrome. Mm-hmm. Some people like to stay there, and mm-hmm. thankfully you had a good friend that told you, hey, you're getting a payoff for this. Like,
yep.
you need to move from there to another, you know, a transition from that. And that was really, really great, you know, and you were able to to, you know, think about it in your head and within yourself and say, hey, I do get a payoff for this. Mm-hmm. So it helped you kind of grow from that, you know, move on.
Correct.
And yeah, so that's good. That's good. So what do you have on the horizon coming up? Anything?
Well, I have a sequel to my book, Raven Transcending Fear, called Soul Solutions, that is in the process of being edited. So that should be coming out on the horizons. Raven Transcending Fear is the story of me overcoming my child sexual abuse. It is a step-by-step process of how I transcended the fear and to start living the life that I always dreamt I wanted to have. So that's what that book is about. Soul Solutions is really and truly the different things that I've learned on the other side of the transcending process. And Raven is, I'm Native American, and Raven is the clan that is of the Athabascan tribe that I belong to. And I also did some research on the Raven, and like the Raven was the first bird that Noah released from the ark, and it never came back because it's resourceful. And also Edgar Allan Poe did a disservice to the Raven by associating it with death. However, the reason the Raven is at death is because it's there to transcend the spirit to the next realm. So there's that transcending process again. So that's where the title came from. And that's also the cover for the book. So Soul Solutions is also the name of my podcast. I too have a podcast, and that comes out every week. And they're short action points that you can walk away with to help you overcome your fears and limiting beliefs.
Wonderful, wonderful. How can we, the audience, kind of get in touch with you in social media?
TerriKozlowski.com, TerriKozlowski.com. And on Facebook, I have the Soul Solutions is the Facebook group that I have, and people can come in and join, and I help them. And then, of course, come.
Okay. So now we heard about, like, you know, what you really went through and everything. Tell us one fun fact about you that little people know about.
I used to be a...
What?
My husband rides a Goldwing, and and so I'm a co-writer. When they were in formation, and so I was a biker gang leader.
Oh wow, that's a fun fact.
That is a fun fact. Like that.
So what could you leave with my audience just to encourage them, whether they be in marriage or, you know, being an author? What could you share with them to encourage them?
I want everybody to understand and realize that right now, just as you are more than enough. Just as you are. So many of us think that we are unworthy for some unknown reason. And the reality is, let's look at a baby, an infant that comes into this world, can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Can't speak, can't tell you it loves you, can't do anything. Mm-hmm. You have to give everything to that infant. And yet we love it unconditionally. Yeah. You haven't changed from that infant because you've grown. You haven't changed from being lovable and worthy because you were put on this planet for a purpose. And as long as you find who you authentically are and live mm-hmm. that purpose, you are more than enough just as you are.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Terry, for being here. And this brings us to the end of the show. We want to say thank you, audience. And remember everything that that Terry shared with us about herself, and her contact information will be below the video. Thanks so much, and see you real soon.
Thank you.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.